This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Each Monday, we explore issues of equity and opportunity in our area with the series Washtenaw United. We've partnered with the United Way of Washtenaw County to identify and bring you the voices that represent the effort to achieve a greater quality of life for all. Today, we're going to explore the healthcare system through the eyes of a man who has a rare perspective into the challenges we face now and moving forward. It's been about a year now since Bill Manns was named as president of the St. Joseph Mercy Hospitals in Ann Arbor and Livingston County, and thank you so much for the time today, Mr. Manns.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Recently, we saw healthcare as a focus of both the NAACP conference, the Democratic presidential primary debates. Locally, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell held a healthcare town hall in Ypsilanti. In these particular events, the overwhelming majority expressed support for a Medicare for All system of healthcare in America. From your vantage point as a head of a healthcare system, is it a workable plan?
That's a great question. I think, you know, it depends on how one defines Medicare for All. I think healthcare is a basic fundamental right for all humans.
As opposed to a privilege.
Exactly. And so I think the general public, when they really say Medicare for All, they mean access to healthcare. And I do think that's something important for all of us. The notion of keeping your own private insurance is also important for many. But I do think the notion of having access for all is
As we explore these different possibilities and have the conversations, there are some who are advocating for simply a modified and expanded version of the existing Affordable Care Act. We know that it did increase access that you talked about. Is that something you might get behind?
Absolutely. I do think there are some challenges with the Affordable Care Act, and we can continue to improve upon it. It's a very solid base. And how do you take that base and continue to make improvements for it?
In leading the St. Joe's Hospital in both Ann Arbor and Livingston, what are the challenges in working with private insurance companies and with the government-run Medicare and Medicaid programs?
Yeah, no, I think there will always be challenges working with any of the payers, but we like to think of it more in terms of partnership. And how do you partner with the payers to ensure that their members are getting what they need, that they're getting good access? Ultimately, the goal of St. Joe's as a system, we want to see the community thrive. And so how do we ensure that people have access to primary care and they're not waiting until they're desperately ill and have to come to the emergency department? So I like to talk about our system as being a system without walls and reaching out into the community and really inviting the community in so that you just aren't coming to St. Joe's when you're sick. You're coming to St. Joe's to learn about how to be healthy and how to stay healthy.
There are those who certainly remain without health insurance. There are those who are underinsured. As a health system, can you afford to address the needs of those people without any way to get paid?
Yeah, so, I mean, ultimately, it's the balance between margin and mission, right? And so, famously, one of the nuns said, no margin, no mission. And so, how do you find that balance? And that's something that we're always attempting to do.
Washtenaw United continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Bill Manns. Bill is the president of the St. Joseph Mercy Hospitals in Ann Arbor and Livingston. You grew up in Detroit, right?
I did.
It's a city we often point to when issues of inequity and lack of opportunity are the focus. What about your experience growing up there informs the manner in which you approach the administration of healthcare today?
Well, that's a great question. So growing up, I thought I wanted to be a physician. And in college, I had an opportunity to work at the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office. And I worked there thinking that I wanted to learn how to really handle the blood and guts associated with healthcare. And what I saw as a young man was many people who looked like me, who at 18, 19, 20, you think you're invincible. And these people coming into the morgue proved to me that one can die at a very early age, right? And I had an opportunity while I went to the University of Michigan, and I was walking across the campus and saw a sign that said, Careers in Healthcare. And administration was in tiny letters at the bottom. And it was a summer enrichment program which took undergraduate minority students and paired them with healthcare administrators. I used this as an opportunity, so I thought I'd meet a doctor or two, and maybe he or she'd write me a letter of recommendation into medical school. But that summer, I actually spent time with healthcare administrators, and I saw the power that the administrators had to improve access, to set policy, et cetera. And the issue that really was a defining moment for me. I don't often tell this story, and I won't mention the particular hospital, and you'll see why in a second. But the administrators were in the boardroom, and they were talking about patients coming in who were victims of gunshot wounds. And at times, these patients might actually have a gun on them. And it would scare the nurses and physicians caring for the patient.
Understandably.
or that patient coming in would have friends who would want to get back to see the patient, and their friends would be very threatening and intimidating. Worst case scenario, whoever shot this person would want to come in and do them harm, and that would scare people. And so the administrators were looking at solutions for this scenario, and they talked about three solutions. The first was a guard with a handheld wand. Well, emergency departments are pretty busy, and can you really wand everybody? Second solution was metal detectors. It's great, but the way in which it was configured, they couldn't provide enough metal detectors because of all the entry points. This third solution was a multi-million dollar rebuild of the ED. So they had a discussion, went on for about 20 minutes, and finally they decided that the solution would be the guard with the handheld wand. And, you know, they clapped, and the group started to leave, and I raised my hand. And one of the executives turned and said, "Ah, little Billy Mance, our summer intern, has a question." And I cleared my throat and said, "What criteria we use to determine who we stop with the wand if we can't stop everyone?"
The inference being that people of color are going to get this much more often, correct?
Exactly. Being a young African-American man from Detroit, I knew or suspected that yes, people of color would be stopped more frequently than those who weren't. And I couldn't imagine being concerned about a loved one and being frisked while someone else walked right by. And so it was at that moment that I realized, as a person of color, while I was surrounded with very learned people who had obviously gone to school, I had a different perspective. And it was a perspective that obviously needed to be heard. And literally at that moment, I decided, you know what? I don't need to go to medical school to have an impact in healthcare.
Was it at that point you also recognized that what you were going to be dealing with in trying to solve these issues as an administrator was going to be both bureaucratic and political in nature?
Yeah, I think, and again, the group was obviously well-intended, very learned, but there's something to be said for perspective and lived experience. And my experience was, and my life was obviously different than what they had experienced.
Now, that was quite some time ago, Mr. Mann. We're still seeing some of those same issues presented at hospitals across the country and here in Southeast Michigan today.
Unfortunately, we are. It's a very unfortunate
situation.
How
have you addressed the issue in the St. Joe system?
Yeah, so one of the things, and I talk about this often, when I was at Michigan, I had a professor, Rich Lichtenstein, who said, "Gee, if you really want to have an impact in someone's life, give him or her a job." The inference being the stability, the structure, and in our case, the benefits associated with that would give one access to health care. And that could have a dramatic impact on their lives.
Our Washington All United conversation with St. Joseph Mercy Health Systems President of the Ann Arbor and Livingston Hospitals continues. Bill Mann is our guest on 89.1 WEMU. I want to go back to talking about access and equity, and all too often that comes down to cost. The conversation is focused on access to insurance and health care deductibles and the like. But let's go to your side of it. Prescription drug costs, the high cost of medical equipment, the fees that you have to charge in a hospital just to operate the system. Many wonder why I'm being charged $42 for an aspirin during my overnight stay. Why is that? And is there a solution to dealing with what you have to pay out in order to provide the service?
Yeah, sure. I think you know, the one bipartisan issue politically that I think legislators agree upon is that healthcare is expensive and we need to do something about the cost. I spend a lot of time talking about lean, so the Toyota production system, and very much like, in my humble opinion, it saved the American automotive industry. I do think it will help save the American medical industry. There's a lot of variation in process, and so at St. Joe's, we're implementing something called the Trinity Health Leadership System.
Okay.
And it is all about driving waste out of our processes. So often when I say lean, people think, oh, I mean layoffs.
You're not talking about people and staffing?
No, nothing could be further from the truth. But what processes are wasteful? And how do we eliminate that waste? And how do we create standardization so that we're doing the same thing the same way all the time, regardless of whether you're Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, right? So the same experience for that patient is very important.
It sounds like you're walking down a rather narrow hallway. To expand that hallway, is it going to take legislative and regulation changes?
No, not necessarily. I mean, so I like to believe that there's so much within our own control. Yes, we are subject to the impact of our environment. But again, this notion of reducing variation so that things are standardized. And it gets back to equity. I think You know, as you get on an airplane, the pilot doesn't say, well, gee, the person of color, okay, white person. The experience is different. In healthcare, unfortunately, there are times where that experience is different. And so what we're doing is actually standardizing that experience for all of our patients.
As you well know, there are many in this community, from both a racial and socioeconomic perspective, that have lost faith in and lost trust in the healthcare system and do not show up until such time it is a dire emergency. What is your message to the people of Washtenaw County and Livingston County and those who might go to one of the St. Joseph Mercy hospitals about the manner in which they're going to be treated today?
Yeah. So really important. And I think if you attend any of our facilities, you will be treated with equity and respect. It's incredibly important. And we've done a great job of creating a warm and welcoming environment for all.
If we were to anoint you king of American healthcare, how would you workably design a system that affordably creates the kind of access and equity for all that you're talking about?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I'd double the number of primary care sites. I do think that there is a particular fear. I'd increase community health workers, so individuals that are knowledgeable of the system who could go out and really meet the patients where they are, be it the barber shops, the grocery stores, et cetera, and reinforce the importance of preventative care and encourage people to trust and to trust the system. You know, it's interesting. I was just talking with Henrietta Lacks' grandson, David. So those of you who may or may not know, Henrietta Lacks was the African-American woman whose cells were taken without her knowledge and consent. It's a wonderful book, and there was a movie on it, et cetera. So anyway, I was talking with her grandson about that experience and the lack of faith and trust in the African-American community of healthcare.
Right.
And well-documented, well-deserved, right? And so I think it's incumbent upon us in leadership to reverse that history, the Tuskegee experiment, the Henrietta Lacks experience, et cetera, and really reach out into the community in a meaningful way to establish that trust, to reestablish that trust in the system.
As the top administrator in these two hospitals, what are you looking for in terms of connection directly with the people of this community to ensure that the experience they are having is working exactly as you described?
Yeah, so a couple things. I mean, we have patient advisory committees, and we'd encourage many of those individuals to really join that committee so we can hear their voices directly. Very important from our perspective.
Thank you so much for the time today. Thank you for your perspective, and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
That is Bill Manns. Bill is president of the St. Joseph's Mercy Hospitals in Ann Arbor and Livingston and our guest on Washtenaw United. Washtenaw United is produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County and heard each Monday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.